I'll be talking about the categorization of extraneous matter in cotton using machine vision systems. Murali Sudhaya, Derek Whitelock, myself, and Ed Hughes worked on this at the Jennings Lab. Steve Grantham from USDA AMS helped us an awful lot with this. Okay, the current techniques use a Klasser determination for extraneous matter. Now, that might be for bark or for grass. They can also make comments on seed coat fragments, spindle twist oil, plastic, bale twine, etc. These are offline measurements. Since they're made by a human, there's a certain amount of subjectivity to it. And it is a labor-intensive measurement. Why imaging techniques? We believe they are repeatable and reliable. The system is non-intrusive. It's capable of a larger area of measurement at one time. The system currently categorizes the trash into bark or grass, leaf, and pepper categories. The system is capable of online measurements and could be used in gene process control. The basic approach of the system, you have image acquisition, image segmentation, labeling, feature measurement, trash categorization. For each of these, the image acquisition, we use a scanner to get a larger area of cotton sampled at one time. Image segmentation is when the trash objects are isolated from the cotton background. At the same time, we do image labeling, where each trash object is given a number so we can keep track of it. We extract various features for each trash object, run them through a neural network, and finally, we can do trash categorization into bark, leaf, or pepper categories. The software we use is the Cotton Trash Identification System, or CTIS. It was developed at our laboratory. It's a Windows-based system. We use some Matrox image processing libraries for certain of the steps, more for historical reasons. The hardware that we've used on this set of tests, we use an Epson Perfection 3170 photo scanner. Previously, we have used a Duncan Tech three-chip color camera. And the system is running on Windows XP. In the research for this presentation, 209 Klasser samples were used, AMS Klasser samples. Four images were taken of each sample. We call these faces. The faces were acquired at 400 dots per inch or 800 dots per inch, which comes out to be about 2/1000ths of an inch per pixel or 1/1000ths of an inch per pixel. The image size, face size, was 4 inches by 7 inches. There were 836 faces acquired, 4 times at 209. Of these 836 faces, 75 of them were called for extraneous matter by the human clusters. For the data analysis, we made a comparison between the AMS Klasser extraneous matter calls and the CTIS bark grass categorization. This is a picture of one of the 400 dot per inch images that were acquired by the system. In this run, the Klassers would have seen a little bit larger of a sample. We didn't limit them to the exact area, but there was, in many cases, there was pretty good overlap. This is the same sample after it was analyzed by both CTIS and the Klasser. The Klasser called this a leaf 5, extraneous matter 11. So it had a significant amount of bark. We had, the CTIS system had a bark count of 9. So the CTIS system also would have called this sample barky. For the preliminary results, we took a look at two different things. First of all, we had 75 Klasser calls for extraneous matters. Of those 75 faces, not bales, but faces, we called, the CTIS system called 73 of them correctly, missed 2. Of the faces where there was no class or extraneous matter call. There's 760 of those. CETUS did not measure any bark in 121 of those. However, CETUS saw bark in 639 of those samples. So there's something different between when a classer decides there's enough bark to make an extraneous matter call and when the CETUS system just sees bark. So we need to look at that. This is just a graphical representation of the 75 samples. The blue are the 73 the CETUS system called correctly. We range from about two pieces of bark, all the way up to 41 pieces of bark in a given face. The two samples where AMS did not give an extraneous matter call, the CETUS system did not see any bark. Looking at the 760 samples where the classer did not make an extraneous matter call, as stated before, 121 of those were called correctly. There were 91 samples where CETUS measured one piece of bark, 72 samples, two pieces of bark, 83 pieces, 68 samples for four pieces of bark, 328 samples for more than four pieces of bark. Something is going on here more than just the number of pieces of bark to become an extraneous matter call. This is just a graphical representation of all these. These are the, on the left is the 760 AMS called, no extraneous matter. The blue is the distribution of CETUS calls. Okay, here is a sample where the classer did not call extraneous matter. It happens, the classer called this a leaf 11. But you can see by the left-hand side, a good-sized piece of bark. Towards the center, a little bit upper left of that, is another piece of bark. We called six pieces of bark in this. So this, yes, sir?
You might point out the blue on the images.
Okay, yes. On these pictures, the blue, well, such as that. Okay, the blue represents bark. If you can see some yellow, it actually represents a historic artifact that we called stick, but we're grouping stick in with bark now, so we just call it bark. But the system still makes it colors it differently. So the blue and the yellow were counted as bark. The green is leaf, and the magenta is the pepper. Okay, so again, this is one of the ones where CETUS called incorrectly. Some general observations. There is a certain amount of poor segmentation due to inadequate compression of the large area. We used our old compression technique when we quadrupled the area, and that was a mistake on our part. Artifacts of buried trash. If you have some trash buried, the segmentation might make call it two or three pieces of trash because it couldn't see continually along the whole thing. We have some higher resolution images. They do permit us to capture more buried trash. CETUS also gives a lot more trash objects that we have to classify to use to make the call or not. It was decided that a new training data set was needed, not only with a classer call, but some information from the classers why they made the call. So because we saw objects where CETUS called multiple pieces of bark, classer chose not to make an extraneous matter call. So there might be other things such as the size of the pieces, distribution of the pieces, et cetera, in that, the reasoning for making that call. We tried to look at different ways of improving the measurements. One of these was to change the resolution of the 400 dpi images down to 200 dpi and to remove the smaller pieces of bark and see what that gave us. We also looked at slightly different segmentation methods because the way we changed the resolution of the images required that. Okay. On this graph, the blue represents the distribution of trash for 400 DPI images. You can see where we have a lot more, greater than 4 bar counts per object. The magenta is the distribution of trash for the 200 DPI objects. You could see where we brought much more of the count to fewer objects per image, per face. It might be reasonable to make a cut between 1 and 2 BARC objects. Or, at this case, take a look at BARC objects and use some other parameter to make the cut for where we would call extraneous matter or not extraneous matter. Okay, in the continuing research, we will be improving the compression, improving the pre-processing. We want to do some more corrections for the calibration of the images to have the actual size. We want to see if there's better segmentation techniques than we're currently using. We will need to retrain the system to not just use the features from the trash objects as we're currently using, but to use some of the information that we've extracted from the classers for what conditions they use to call extraneous matter for given pieces and distribution of BARC. In the second stage of this, which we've collected the data, we have not started any significant analysis on it yet. This is a print which was made after the scanner acquired the image of the face. The classers had a template about 4 by 7 inches whole, and they were able to put that over the sample. So they were able to limit themselves to the 4 by 7 inch region, which they tried to center on the scanner. So we have a lot better overlap between what the classer is judging and what the scanner is judging. This is one where the classer marked an EM call 11, so there's a significant amount of BARC. The leaf here is 3. This is a print where the extraneous matter, where the classer did not call any extraneous matter. It also is a leaf level of 3. These are the types of samples which we'll be working with the next go around to improve the system. Probably with some discussions with AMS, how the system might be used as an in-house tool. Not only does it give them some judgment and see how it's working, they can give us more feedback so we can make it work better for them. Okay, in the continuing research, there'll be a correlation between the CNS image results and the AMS classified results that will include not this next go around, but the one after that, the calibrated images. We'll have classer identification of the EM matter and or calls and quantification of the BARC levels. Okay, I would like to thank the people at AMS that gave us a tremendous amount of assistance in this. The USDA classer, Sharon Chisholm and Roxanne Coulter, spent hours doing this, and it is greatly appreciated. Memphis Area Director Brian Cole, if he didn't say go ahead with this, we wouldn't have done it. Chief of Quality Assurance, Lee Gibson, and Centerization Engineering Branch, Jimmy Knowlton and his staff. I'd like to thank all of those, and thank you. Are there any questions? Yes, sir.
I'm thinking the human eyes actually can penetrate to the surface of the sample and see something beneath immediately under the sample, some like leaves or bugs. You know, yesterday, study on Cotton color measurement, pressure on the sample is a factor. I wonder if pressure, if you find anything, if pressure affects your...
Okay. Taking a look at this sample, you might notice it's a little bit clearer in the center than it is on the edges. The compression in this was an airbag, but the airbag was sort of full. So when you push down, the center got compressed a little bit more than the rest. A next level will be an airbag that's not expanded all the way with a frame, so that when you push the airbag down within the frame, you'll get more even pressure across the whole surface. So that's where we're trying to bring the trash closer to the surface. We'll still have to handle, when you have a long piece of trash and part of it's buried, how do we extend the piece of trash we know about to what we don't know about? Now, you can extend it correctly. It's really a long piece of trash. And you can extend it incorrectly. It's really two pieces of trash. So it's something that has to be handled. Ed.
If I can just make a comment. One of the issues here is that the classer is the gold standard as far as extraneous matter. And the classer looks at the surface uncompressed, so it's a free surface. And so what we're one of the issues, and this I think this slide shows it very well, there's no bale of cotton that doesn't have spark in it. The question is at what level do you actually give it a bark call? And I think the industry over the years and the classing has come to some kind of an agreement of where that starts. Now, what the problem is that if you're going to go to an instrument call, that sort of unwritten agreement also has to be brought into the process. And you see here, there are two pieces of bark that the classer identified, that there's bark there, but it wasn't enough to give it an EM call. So there's a significant sign of a level, a threshold level. So we have to sort of bring that into the process as well. That's part of why we have about 700 or 800 of these pictures that we're going to be going through and coming to the account size level, and I'm sure it's nonlinear. So in working with AMS and these guys, so it's really kind of I think we're at a place where we can really make some real progress with this.
And I think the working with the AMS on this to get the to climb into the classer's head is what's going to make this project. It's what's going to make it successful.
In other imaging research, where we have looked at trying to do imaging from subjective scales that are the gold standard, we find out that there are the gold standard levels supposedly are discontinuous and have issues with them. And to reconcile imaging to what is the visual scale is sometimes the biggest challenge in the work piece.
And my own view, this is one of the biggest benefits of working closely with AMS, because they'll be seeing what our system does while their classers are doing it. And who knows if how that might affect a classer, might not. You know, a classer might go back and look at something. And I'm really interested in seeing where this takes us, because I hope it makes everyone comfortable if there are if it's discontinuous, it'll make people more comfortable with that, because we can really state, yes, it is, and this is how. There were two classers that made these measurements, one classer on a given card. So we have, I believe there's 200 bales on this next set, so there's 800 images. And I haven't finished entering it into the computer yet, so I don't know how many of them have extraneous matter calls, so I can't give you that information. One classer classed some fraction of it. The other classer classed the other fraction of it. In the first test, we tried to get some overlap, you know, more than one classer taking a look at things in the first test that we have here. Right now, in the second run, because of the more time consumed to do this, they weren't able to do that. If it proves beneficial, there's a reason to spend the money next time. But again, we learn each step of the way. Yes?
Compared to technologies to acquire an image, one is a scanner, the other is a camera. I think camera is much faster, you know, can be small fraction of a second. Scanner is a little bit slow. Would you comment what is the benefit or disadvantage of using either a scanner or camera?
main benefit of two benefits of the scanner. One, you can easily get larger areas. And two, it needs less flat field correction. Okay, if you just have a light and then you were to plot the light level across the image, it goes like this. It's much more uniform. And I'm being told I have enough time here.
Okay.
Okay, and the scanner is much more uniform across the scanner and over time. So those are the two main benefits. And once we learn what we do here, cameras will be cheaper, computers will be cheaper. We can go that route.
If there's any more questions, I'm sure Mike will be available after the session.
Thank you.